Yes, well, we are in week 5 of this Ripple Effect journey. It's been an exciting 4 weeks here as a church family, and I'm excited today to kind of bring this to a conclusion, and then we will start a brand new, we'll have one message next week that'll be called Found, and then we'll start a brand new series on Easter called Jesus Is. We're doing a 5-week series you're not going to want to miss. There's even a book that goes along with it. It's a great series you can be a part of. Well, we are a network of 9 different churches that meet all over Southern California, Tijuana. We have one in Salt Lake City. And we've been taking this Ripple Effect journey with every single one of our churches. And today, we're going to be talking again about another movement. Each week of this series, we've talked about different movements, this journey that we're on with Jesus. I'm going to recap those today, so if you missed the first 4 weeks, no problem. You're going to get the gist of it today, and then also you can always catch up online at eastlakechurch.com, or you can use our app to do that as well. I remember back whenever I was 12 years old, and I went to a birthday party of a friend of mine at the Duncanville, Texas Natatorium. Now, I don't know if you guys even have natatoriums in California, because I didn't grow up here and I haven't seen one, but it's just like a giant indoor swimming pool. And so we went to this Duncanville Natatorium. This was back when actually they had diving boards at pools before people thought they were dangerous or something, and people, I don't know, got hurt or something. So the thing was, like, everybody wanted to have their birthday party at the Natatorium so that you could go off the high dive, because Duncanville Natatorium had the highest of the high dives. And so I'm 12, and my friend is there, and it's his birthday. And so just like guys do, 12-year-old boys, we kind of have one of these, like, these moments where we are encouraging one another, and we're just one-upping one another. Well, I can do this off the diving board. Well, I can do this off the diving board. Like, oh, really? I can do this. And somehow, in the midst of this moment, I just got caught up in the moment. I was like, oh, yeah, I can do a backflip off the high dive. Everyone goes, oh, and one of my friends, Eric, goes, do it. And I was like, fine. And then I turned, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never done a backflip before in my life. You know, but you can't let them, like, you can't let them see you sweat, right? So I'm like, okay. So I get up there, I climb up the high dive, my whole body is shaking, I'm terrified. I get to the end of the diving board, and I turn around, getting ready to do a backflip, and it's like this moment of, like, it's now or never. What are you going to do? You told everybody you could do this. So what do? I mean, I just go for it. I give it all I got. I just bounce once super high. A second time I bounce and I jump, and then I never rotate. And I just fall. Like the whole, and this is indoor, you know, like it's a metal building. It just like reverberates. And everyone looks like, oh, is that kid all right? And when meanwhile I'm under the water like, oh my gosh, this hurts so bad. And then I come out like, I'm good. I tripped there, you know, like I can do it. I can totally do it. Like, you want to try again? No. Nope. And I never have tried it again. No, I've done backflips as I grew up and figured out how to do it. But in this moment of, like, I'm going to jump. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to take this leap. Well, throughout this cannonball journey, this ripple effect journey, we've been talking about jumping in, about taking a leap, jumping off the side of the pool and doing a cannonball. Our 2-year giving initiative here at our church is called Cannonball for that reason. It's about going all in and doing a cannonball. Well, there's this natural tendency that we have whenever we think about doing something we've never done before. Whenever we think about stepping out in faith and doing something that we've never done, we naturally think, well, what if I mess it up? What if I do a belly flop? What if I do a back flop? What happens if I get up there and I jump and I've never done this before and it totally goes wrong and nothing works out the way that I thought it was going to work out? Well, I want to be clear. Yes, in life, sometimes we might jump out like I did on the diving board and it doesn't work out. But anytime you take a step of faith with Jesus, it always works out because God comes along with you. Anytime we listen to Jesus and we do exactly what he is telling us to do, he always comes alongside us. He always makes sure that we're taken care of. He doesn't let us do a belly flop. He doesn't let us do a back flop because he does it with us. But also, God honors every time we just try. God honors it when we try, when we make an attempt to step out in faith and trust him. Now, today, in a little bit, like we said a couple of times, we're going to make some commitments. And I know that a lot of you here that call this church home, this is going to be the first time you've ever done anything like this. It's going to be the first time you've actually made a commitment to give to Jesus and his mission. It's going to be the first time you've ever made a commitment to go all in and say, God, I'm going to do exactly what you were asking me to do. You know, all throughout this journey, we've talked about some key things. I just want to remind us of today. When it comes to committing to giving to the church in the mission of Jesus, I just want to remind us what we talked about last week, what Paul commended us to do. He talked about being thoughtful in what you're going to give, being mindful about what you're going to give, not responding to arm twisting or guilting in any way, but instead taking time to think about what is Jesus asking me to do. Being thoughtful, listening to God, listening to the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about this in detail about being intentional, being purposeful, making a purposeful commitment that this is what I feel God is calling me to do. We read last week how Paul says when we're thoughtful, when we're mindful, when we think about it, when we give generously, when we spend the time thinking it over, what it does is it protects us from arm twisting and obligation. Now, if you feel any obligation or arm twisting, like, that's not God. That's not how he works. God always speaks lovingly, with grace, with gentleness. So through this journey, as we've been praying about what is my next right step, what is God asking me to do, I know a lot of us have felt that gentle whisper, that gentle nudge from the Holy Spirit saying, hey, how about you take this next big step and then you trust me in this? Also, I just want to remind you that as a church, we don't want anything from you. Today, even what we're going to do is not about an amount. It's not about a certain amount of money. What it's really about is you doing what Jesus is asking you to do. We don't want anything from you. What we want is something for you. That we want you to know deeply the blessing that comes when you step out and trust Jesus. We want you to know the blessing that comes when you live generously. Not financially, but in every area of our lives. You know, our theme verse through this series has been Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. You can see it here on the screen. It says, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Now, this journey we've been on has been all about three things. We're going to go over these three. The first thing you can write down in your notes today, if you're taking notes, this Ripple Effect 5-week journey has been all about movement. It's the first blank on your notes. This journey is all about movement. It's about taking a journey with Jesus. No matter where you are in your faith journey, Jesus has a next step for you. Jesus has something that he wants you to do next in your faith walk. We talked about this last week, that it's okay wherever you are on your faith journey, it's okay to be in that place. It's just not okay to stay in that place forever. Jesus has a next step for you. And I know here in our church family, we have every single part of that spectrum. We have some here that are just checking out Jesus. I want you to know this is a safe place for you to belong as in a church family, belong into a group of people. Even if you don't believe in Jesus yet, it's a safe place for you to just check out Jesus. We have people who've started their faith journey here, and they're in year one or year two of their faith journey. We have some that have been going to church and that grew up in the church that have been doing it for 40, 50, 60, even 70 years that are part of this church family. We have every part of the spectrum, and that's what I love so much about this church family. And wherever you are, it's okay to be there. It's just not okay to stay there forever. This journey is about movement. The next step in your faith journey, if you call this church home, what we've said is the next step in your faith journey probably has a lot to do with generosity, because that's what God is doing in us collectively as a church and as a network of churches. The main thing to remember is that it's a journey of movement. And here you can write these down. These are the movements that we've talked about. I'm not going to go into detail, but you can write those down. The first 4 weeks, the last 4 weeks we talked about these. The first one was moving from me to we. Taking a movement from everything that comes to me is for me, and that my life, everything that I do is for me, but instead moving to a place of God has given me talents, abilities, and resources to be a blessing to each one of us. And we talked about from moving from holding on to letting go, holding on to fear or anger, and then really moving to a place of letting go and letting God move and work. Then we talked about moving from fear to faith, how fear and faith have the same base root. They're both about the future. Believing something in the future is going to happen even though we cannot see it. And it's up to us whether we're going to choose to be afraid or if we're going to choose to have faith and trust Jesus to come through. Then last week we talked about moving from a place of self-sufficiency to a place of fully surrender. A place of, if it's going to be, it's up to me. I'm self-sufficient in myself to a place of I'm fully surrendered to you, God. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do that. And then today, we want to make another movement as a church, family, and then individually, and that's from comfortable to committed. We want to move from comfortable to committed. You know, we live in a culture of comfort. In Western culture, we love things to be comfortable. And if it's not comfortable, we don't even want any part of it. And we love comfort so much that a certain group of people have turned a certain type of pants that were designated for a specific purpose called yoga into like everyday pants. Have you noticed this? Well, they're comfortable, so I can wear them every day, all day long. Like we've done, why? Because they're comfortable. Is it because they look good and stylish? I mean, you can decide that on your own. But they're comfortable. We love things that are comfortable. You know, as we look at the New Testament, Jesus called his disciples to do a lot of things, but being comfortable isn't one of them. He doesn't say, I want you just to be comfortable, full of joy, yes, full of peace, no matter what you're going through, yes, full of love, full of grace, yes, but comfortable, no. You know, as I look over the course of my life, and I'm sure as all of us look over just the human experience, some of the greatest moments in life are some of the moments where we're the most uncomfortable. Some of the greatest things in life happen when we're willing to be a little uncomfortable. I still remember back in 2004, whenever Brooke and I, my wife now, were dating, and I remember getting down on one knee at the Gaylord Texan Hotel in Grapevine, Texas, and asking her to marry me. Let me tell you, I was not comfortable in that moment. I was sweating profusely, right? Like, it wasn't comfortable, it wasn't easy, but I was excited. I mean, it was exhilarating. It was like, I hope she says yes. And then I said, will you marry me? And she says, are you sure? Are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm holding, I mean, what is that a yes? You know, like, what's happening here? And she's like, yes, yes, of course, yes. Wasn't comfortable, but man, it was exciting. I remember 10 months later, whenever I was standing at the front of this, you know, on a rooftop in Phoenix, and there's all these people looking at me, and then my bride starts walking down the aisle. That wasn't a comfortable moment. I was wearing a tuxedo. Those things are not comfortable. I don't know why they can't make tuxedos out of yoga pant material, but it wasn't comfortable, but it was exciting, and it was awesome. I remember 4 months later when I found out that I was going to be a dad. And then 9 months after that, I remember being in the delivery room. That was not a comfortable experience. Man, it was exciting. It was awesome. When I think back over my life, some of the greatest moments of joy, the greatest moments of adventure are not moments where I was comfortable. They're moments when I said, I'm going to be committed to this. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to be all in. I'm going to say, I don't just like this woman. I love this woman. I want to spend the rest of my life with this woman. So I'm going to be all in. I'm going to be committed. And then I asked her to marry me. And then we had a kid. And then we had another one. Then we had another one. And we thought, man, we have three. You might as well just go for four. Then we had four. We're like, that's enough. I know some of you have more than that. And I pray for you because we're just doing okay, you know. We're just doing okay. But choosing to step out in faith and trust God fully is about being willing to move from comfortable to committed. Hey, God, I'm all in. I'm into whatever you are asking me to do. That's what today is about. What is Jesus asking you to do today? Do that. No more, no less. What is Jesus asking you? This journey is all about movement. The next thing this journey is all about 100% participation. This journey is all about 100% participation. You know, every single one of us on this journey with Jesus. And my prayer from the beginning is that everybody who calls this church home would take this cannonball journey. My prayer is that you've been able to take this journey at the level that Jesus is asking you to take it. And the reason why is because as your pastor and as someone who's followed Jesus for quite some time, I know anytime I'm obedient to Jesus, it may be scary. Things may not work exactly like I thought they were going to, but every single time I'm obedient to follow Jesus, something amazing takes place because God comes alongside us. Here at East Lake Church, we really believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and we believe that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. So in his word, when he said, I will pour out my spirit on you, I will bless you, when you step out and be obedient, when you give generously, when you live generously, we believe that he's going to do that. I don't know what the blessing is going to look like in your life, but I know it's going to be awesome. Anytime we step out in faith and trust Jesus, he says he's going to bless us. And he might bless us in a way we weren't really anticipating, but every time he pours out his spirit, every time he blesses us, it's awesome. This journey is about 100% of us saying, yeah, I'll do this. I'll step out in faith and do what Jesus is asking me to do. You know, through this journey, we've heard a bunch of stories from people in our church network and all 9 of our churches talk about their journeys with Jesus, how they've stepped out in faith and seen him show up. Some here we've showed on Sundays, some we've shown in our group curriculum if you've been in one of those growth groups. But here, just watch this kind of recap of those stories.
Pray fervently, commit fully, help us reach our goal of 100% participation.
Cannonball has been about all of us, all ages, all life stages, declaring that we want to be a community of people that are jumping all in with Jesus on this mission and then make some kingdom of God waves together.
Giving to a church for me was not something regularly that I did. And once Cannonball came up, you know, the commitment series, I really had to pray about it and then pray with my family too and talk to my peers, because, you know, I'm young, I'm 21, and so not a whole lot of money to be saving up, not a whole lot to give, and so that was a huge step for me of just kind of getting out of my comfort zone, not just financially, but in all aspects of life for me.
Once I got into that Cannonball growth group with the guys the first time, they were all talking about their tithe, and I'm kind of just sitting there going, all right, well, we're nowhere. We don't do that. But sitting in a group one day, talking with everybody, I just got the voice of Jesus telling me, test me, give me your finances and test me and see where it takes us. It really has been easier than expected. We've been able to see the things that the church are doing, how it's being helped around the community. It's just amazing.
We already tithe and give to the church, so giving extra was, we had to reevaluate everything. So we had discussed it together on how much more we can give.
What we're looking for in the last, you know, kind of season of Cannonball is to really just finish strong and think about what God has for us next.
You know, for me, I have been giving for a long time. When I made the commitment, when he showed me the amount, I was quite shocked. but I decided to trust him. He is faithful, and he wants you to grow in him and to trust him and to know that he has all the challenges, he's resolved it, he's way ahead of us, and he's there.
Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And for me, I definitely feel by giving to this initiative, my heart has definitely been with God.
I think about the different churches that are going to come out of this. The different pastors, the different leaders, the people who are going to accept Christ in their lives, and how just doing that, making that one decision, can have a ripple effect, and not just in their lives, but in lives of other people for generations to come.
When we first started tithing, I had a little rough start with it. My wife, she was all in. The Cannonball has since let us refocus on what the bigger picture is, what our church is doing and how we're giving to our community and helping outside of the community, going abroad. That right there, I was all about it. I was all in. I felt like this Cannonball initiative was speaking to us that we really needed to expand our generosity.
You have to really believe that you're playing a part and that there is a mission, there is a greater good, a greater cause.
And for me to know that I can somehow, in some way, my small way, make a difference, you know, blesses me.
Coming together as a group, we could really have a great impact on the community and throughout the world.
With Cannonball, I realized that it was time to stop. Like, you can't keep making excuses. If you don't start doing it now, you're never going to do it. It doesn't matter how much money you give or if it's not your definition of enough. Like, you're contributing to something that's a lot bigger than you. Like, you're contributing to the mission of Jesus. And that's why I was like, I have to commit. Like, this is something that Jesus is calling me to do. This is something that it's in the Bible. I can't just make excuses for myself and feel sorry for me when it's the right thing to do.
Turn over to the back side of your notes this morning. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32 through 34, this is Jesus talking. He says, "My little flock, don't be afraid. God is your Father, and your Father's great joy is to give you his kingdom." That means you can sell your possessions and give generously to the poor. You can have a different kind of savings plan, one that never depreciates, one that never defaults, one that can't be plundered by crooks or destroyed by natural calamities. Your treasure will be stored in the heavens. And since your treasure is there, your heart will be lodged there as well. See, our heart actually follows our treasure. Where we decide to give our treasure, that's where our heart lies. And Jesus says, make sure that your heart lies in heaven, in the eternal. You know, in week two of our series here, we talked about the idea of the difference between holding on from letting go, moving from holding on to letting go, and living with the rest of the rope in mind. And Pastor James, the lead pastor of our network, he did this illustration, but just kind of wanted to explain today a little bit about this. See, this rope here kind of represents your life. And this green section here at the front represents your life on earth. And then all the rest of this rope represents life for eternity. And just imagine like it's never ending. It's not. It's just sitting in the bottom of that bucket over there. But imagine that it just goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. And we spend so much of our time, energy, focusing, worrying, fretting, being afraid of what happens in this little green section when there's all the rest of this eternity for us to think about. So what Jesus is talking about here in this verse is investing our time, our energy, our attention, our focus, and our resources, not on things that will just last here in this life, but things that will last forever. And there's two things that we know will last forever. One of those is people, and the other is the kingdom of God. So when we invest our time, our energy, our focus, our attention, our resources into people and into the kingdom of God, we're investing in things that will last forever. This journey is all about movement. This journey is all about 100% participation. The last thing you can fill in is this journey is all about generosity. This journey has been all about generosity. When I say generosity, I'm not just talking about money. This series, this journey we are on is about being generous with our time, with our energy, with our focus, with our attention, and with our treasure. About living generously, giving of ourselves with others in mind. See, generosity, I want to say something today that might be kind of a game changer for some of you. Generosity isn't the means to the mission of Jesus. Generosity isn't like, well, we just need people to be generous so that we can do the mission of Jesus, or you need people to be generous so you can do the mission of Jesus. Generosity isn't just the means to the mission. Generosity is the mission of Jesus for us to live our lives with a generous spirit. Because we are most like Jesus when we are living generously. We are most like Jesus when our focus and our attention is on other people. And what can I do to invest into someone else's life? God is not asking us to be generous so that we can care for the 500 orphans that we care for in Uganda. God is not asking us to be generous so we can build homes for families who live in extreme poverty in Baja like we do each and every year. God is not asking us to be generous so that we can rescue women and girls from human trafficking, even though we do that in one of our partner organizations. God is not asking us to be generous so we can start a bunch of new churches, even though that's our goal as well. We want to start a bunch of new churches. God is asking us to be generous because when we're generous, we become more like Jesus. We become more like Jesus when we step out and we're generous with our lives. When we are willing to generously give forgiveness to others when we've been hurt. When we are willing to generously serve people who need compassion. When we are willing to generously help those who are sick. When we are generously giving of our time to help others find and follow Jesus. When we generously give ourselves in prayer for others that don't know Jesus yet. Generosity is the mission because it makes us more like Jesus. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but Jesus, the Son of Man, came to serve and to give his life as the ransom for many. We are most like Jesus when we serve and when we give. That's the mission. We are most like Jesus when we serve and give to God and to others. I'm going to go ahead and invite Maria up. Maria is just going to play a little music on our keys. And in just a moment, we're going to have a time where we just reflect on what Jesus is asking us to do. So in just a moment, we are going to take a couple minutes of kind of silence, which is why Maria's playing, so it's not just dead silent and awkward. I mean, it might be a little awkward anyways, but here we go. We're just going to take a couple minutes, and we're going to spend a moment with Jesus, but also spend a moment maybe with our spouse and pray about what is Jesus asking us as a family to do. During this three-minute period, I just want to reiterate a couple things. One, this really isn't about an amount. This moment today isn't about what all the great things that our network of churches is going to do with what we give and what we commit to give. This moment, this morning, is about you and Jesus. It's about you and your spouse and Jesus saying, okay, God, I'm open to you. I'm open to whatever you are telling me to do. No more, no less, just what Jesus is telling you to do.